coming up on All Access.
50 minutes from hostile territory.
He's going to come back down to camp, try to make plays, okay?
In the pocket, it starts to collapse. Pressure by Ninkovic, and then by Jones. He runs it right to the 25, to the 30.
So this is a big game coming up against the Broncos, and we put that Carolina game behind us very quickly. Recognize some things, learn some things from it, but now we got to move on and get ready for Denver.
Hey, let me extend through, extend high. Shoulders over the ball a little more.
So when we improve the player physically, then we ultimately give the coaches a much better product to perform on Sundays.
Not bad.
What can you do? You just got to move on and just, you know, it's not like it's the first time, so you just got to.
It's not like it's the first time this year.
Time for explanations are over, and the Patriots will try to turn the page from a frustrating and disappointing loss to the Panthers. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. There's no time to feel sorry for themselves as the 9-1 Denver Broncos come to Foxborough for Sunday Night Football. We'll preview that game, but before we do, let's take you back to the sidelines for all the action from the Carolina game.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Come on.
This is as tough as it's gonna get. Where else would you rather be doing it?
60 minutes in hostile territory. I like that, baby. Let's go. Trenches on three. 1, 2, 3.
This is what we do.
Newton in the pocket, fires across the middle, grab made by LaFell, in for a touchdown, Carolina.
That's the game right there, is communication, playing more physical inside, and pushing the middle of the pocket, all right?
Tom with a handoff to Ridley, hesitates and he lost the football. He fumbled and Carolina has it.
We can do this. We're just shooting ourselves every drive. We've done something to hurt ourselves, okay? And if we eliminate that, I think honestly the sky's the limit.
Go Patriots, number one.
Short drop by Brady, throwing the slant to Gronkowski. Makes the grab inside the five. Three Panthers on the tackle, but he reaches across the goal line for a Patriots touchdown.
Nice try. That's Patriot football right there.
Let's do it again.
Hand off Ridley, runs it left, lowering the shoulders. Diving in for a Patriots touchdown.
That's some good running.
Newton in the gun takes the snap, and Jones and Ninkovic get to the quarterback. They take him down inside the 15.
Where this thing's going, it's going to be who's got the ball last.
It didn't stop that long.
Yeah.
Keep pounding away. Look, it's the fourth quarter. It's going to come back down to Cam trying to make plays, okay?
Shotgun snap to Noon. In the pocket, it starts to collapse. Pressured by Ninkovic, and then by Jones. He runs it right to the 25, to the 30. Newton off the snap, looking left, firing out to Ted Ginn Jr., makes the grab, runs inside the 15 to the 10. He's on his way to the end zone.
Let's go win this, fellas. Just what we want to do.
Shotgun snap to Brady, retreats in the pocket, steps up to the end zone. The throw will be intercepted. Flag goes down. A flag is thrown.
There is no foul on the play. The game is over.
Patriots
Hi, I'm Bob Soucy, the voice of the Patriots for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Right down to and even after the bizarre and bitter end of Monday night, the Patriots and the Panthers treated a network TV audience to compelling football theater. And this week, as the setting shifts to Foxborough, once again the Patriots play on a national stage. As the Broncos visit Gillette Stadium, storylines are self-evident. There's Tom Brady and Peyton Manning again sharing the same field, and a certain wide receiver from Denver returning to what used to be his home field. And like last week, the let's hope in not the same way, this primetime encounter should leave us all longing for more. And that's the view from the booth for Patriots All Access. I'm Bob Soucy.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Time to sit down with the coach. Coach Belichick joins me again here in another week, Coach. And before we get to Denver, tie up a couple loose ends with Carolina, Monday Night Football. Fair to say, missed opportunities there in that football game.
Yeah, you know, it was a really good football game, very competitive, went back and forth several times, and we had a couple chances, and we just weren't able to do quite enough with them. But, you know, proud of the way the team hung in there and fought for 60 minutes. Carolina's a good football team. We made a lot of plays. They just made a couple more than we did.
You guys did do a really lot of good things in that football game. And I remember sitting here last week with you, and we talked about Cam Newton, and you said, hey, we need to defend him as a running back. And I see you flipping through, you know, pictures, and you're down on one knee with the defense. Was that kind of the game within the game, too, trying to just, whether it's staying in your lanes, coverage, and the whole package, you know, trying to defend him?
Yeah, well, that was definitely a big part of it. And, you know, on third down in particular, they had some design runs for him, which I think we handled pretty well. It was a couple of loose scramble plays that he hurt us on.
Quick turnaround for you, too, and I sit here after wins and losses with you. Thank God it's more wins most of the time. But yeah. I think your general philosophy is stay even kill, and I think it transmits down through your team. You know, when you win, don't be too high. When you lose, don't be too low.
Right. Well, this is a big game coming up against the Broncos, and we put that Carolina game behind us very quickly. You know, recognize some things, learn some things from it, but now we got to move on and get ready for Denver. So, you know, all our attention this week spent on the Broncos.
All right. Thanks a lot, Coach. Coach will be back later in the show as we talk about the Denver game. More of All Access next.
Coming up on All Access,
we sit down with linebacker Rob Ninkovich.
You're playing against a friend or somebody that you know well, and you put a big hit on them, you know, you could say that for the rest of your life.
But first, we find out why Dane Fletcher loves the game of football.
It's just me versus you, and if I beat you, then I win. It's as simple as that, and I love that.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. And by Gillette, the official shave of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots All Access is presented by Geico.
I love about football that truly everybody's equal. It's literally just you against the man across from you. You know, it's a truly mano a mano kind of sport, and it's just me versus you, and if I beat you, then I win. It's as simple as that, and I love it.
His jersey wrapped up, and he's brought down by the shirt tail by Dane Fletcher.
Oh, when I was a kid, I grew up playing linebacker. I just, that was kind of my position. And I love being behind the ball, being able to read things, but also be able to come up and crack the running backs, the O-line, whatever it takes. The player that I most wanted to emulate when I was a kid would definitely be, I'd probably say Brian Cox, just because, I don't know, he just kind of had a crazy way about him. You know, he just would go out and thump people. And between him and Zach Thomas, I really respected Zach Thomas's game. He would go and hit the biggest guys, even though Zach was small. So, you know, it was a good toss-up between Zach Thomas and Brian Cox. My parents would agree that I was born to put pads on one way or another. Even I grew up playing hockey, I grew up playing football, and I grew up playing baseball. And even in baseball, I had to choose the one position where I could wear pads and have a shot at hitting somebody coming over home plate. So, you know, one way or another, I love having pads. I love hitting people.
With all the injuries on defense, Dane Fletcher has been able to fill several roles quite capably for the Patriots. Welcome back to All Access, presented by GEICO. Injuries continue to mount on the defensive side. Dan Wiltz fills us in on the latest challenges.
There was very little, if any, talk about Monday night's final play of New England's 24-20 loss at Carolina, except this.
My mom thought it was a penalty. Does that count?
But the Pats had to quickly move on this week because the 9-1 Denver Broncos come to Gillette Stadium Sunday night, led by Peyton Manning.
He's a great player. He's a great motivator, great leader, plays at a high level on a week-in, week-out basis. So it's going to be a big challenge for our team.
Sunday night marks the 14th time Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have squared off in an NFL game. And Brady's Patriots are 9-4 against Manning's team. And number 12 is certainly appreciated in his locker room.
It's hard to explain. You know, I really don't think you can because of who he is as a player, who he is as a person, and the way he works, and the way he leads this team and this offense. It's pretty indescribable. It's more so you just got to see it on Sundays.
A very familiar face will be here Sunday night in Wes Welker, who spent the previous six seasons here in Foxborough and was well-liked by his teammates, who learned quite a bit from the five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver.
His hustle, his dedication, and his work to his craft. I mean, definitely took some part of his game from him growing up as a player in the NFL.
These days, not only is the Patriots' defense facing some tough opponents, but they're doing it as injuries continue to mount. And the question now becomes, how long can this unit hang in there with Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, Tommy Kelly all out for the season, and key defensive back Steve Gregory, Alphonso Dennard, and Aqib Talib all banged up?
I think anybody, you always want to be playing at 100%. You know, you never like to deal with, bumps and bruises, as you say. So next guy has to step up. You know, we've prepared well enough to do that stuff throughout the year. Hopefully we can continue to do that and work hard this week to try to beat a good team.
An interesting side note to this one, since taking over the Patriots as head coach in 2000, Bill Belichick has a winning regular season record against 30 of 31 teams that he's faced. The only one he doesn't? Yep, you guessed it. The Denver Broncos, against whom he's 5-5. From here at the CBS scene in Foxborough for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Roachy, thank you very much. I'm joined now by Patriot linebacker and captain Rob Ninkovich. And let me ask you this right from the get-go. How disappointing was that coming off that Carolina loss? I mean, have you guys totally put it behind you? How tough was it?
Yeah, it was definitely a tough loss. But you have to put it behind you. You have to, you know, look forward to this big game that we're about to play against these guys right here. You know, Denver is going to be a tough game. So you got to put all your effort and emotions into next week just to prepare. And they got a lot of weapons and challenges mm-hmm. for us. So Carolina definitely was a disappointment for us. But we know that we have to improve. And you can't make the same mistakes, in the later part of the season. Just learn from our mistakes and continue to progress through the season here.
Peyton Manning, how do you rank a guy like Peyton Manning, and how do you stop a guy like Peyton Manning?
Well, I mean, he's one of the best in the league for a long time now. So, a guy like him, you just have to, get some pressure on him in the pocket, not let him stand back there and just take his time, selecting who he wants to throw the ball to. And just do a great job of trying to disrupt the timing, because with their offense there, it's similar to what we do here. It's just timing and setting up the run and then throwing in play actions and then taking a couple shots down the field. So you just kind of have to understand their mentality towards running their offense, and it all starts with number 18.
Wes Welker may be coming to town. How weird is it going to be to see Wes on the other side of the field and playing against this guy?
You know, that's the one thing about the NFL is there's always change. You're constantly playing against somebody that was a teammate or somebody you went to college with. So there's always relationships with people that you play against, and it's fun. I mean, I enjoy knowing the person that I'm going against,
Really?
Because, think about it. You're playing against a friend or somebody that you know well, and you put a big hit on him, you know, you could say that for the rest of your life. Like, hey, remember that time that I beat you and it was pretty awesome, you know, and they, what can they say?
Right.
You know, Wes is a, you know, great football player, but, you know, I'm still going to hit him just like I'd hit anybody else.
Would you help him up afterwards?
Nope, I don't do that. I definitely don't help up the opposing team.
Even if it's Wes.
Only my teammates, that's it.
I can't let you go without, because the beard's just staring me in the face. Okay, now, I've been used to this all year with the Red Sox,
yeah.
But you started before the Sox even did, didn't you?
Yeah, it's kind of every year. It just gets a little bit longer. So, let's say the Super Bowl year, I started No Shave November.
No Shave November?
I started that.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't start it, but I would say I jumped onto that. No Shave, and then towards the Super Bowl, it was, you know, a good size. And last year, I started a month earlier than November. And then this year, I just started right in training camp. So I said from the day of training camp on, we'll just, you know, I shape it a little bit.
Right.
You know,
I keep it clean.
I don't want to look, you know, like I'm going duck hunting, like in Duck Dynasty. But, you know, I keep the lines nice and, you know, the wife likes it, so.
And it's trim.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And the Red Sox caught on to it.
Yeah, they did, because, you know, now everyone's like, oh, you look like a Red Sox player. I'm like, no, well, maybe they look like me a little bit, you know, so.
I'll end on that.
Yeah, all right, definitely.
Rob Ninkovich, our guest. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Time now for our High School Coach of the Week. This week, we congratulate John Bork of Waltham High School. The Hawks exploded for 27 straight second-half points to capture the Division II North title. Presenting the award is Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett.
Thank you. Congratulations.
The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Waltham High School football program in the name of head coach John Bork.
This is Waltham! Boom, 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 boom.
Hi, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point-Counterpoint Debate. All right, Stephen Ridley put the ball on the ground two games in a row. So the big question, is it time to lessen the running back's role in the offense?
Like it or not, Stephen Ridley is the best runner on the Patriots. The weather's getting colder. You got to run the ball. You got to use Stephen Ridley. Here's what they have to do. They just got to coach this guy up.
Seven of the Patriots' 10 games this season decided by a touchdown or less. Every possession matters, and you have a lead back who's put the ball on the ground two straight weeks, lost three fumbles this year. Shane Vereen is healthy. LeGarrette Blount is running well. Brandon Bolden is healthy and can give you some depth. It's time to diminish the role of Stephen Ridley. Great year a year ago. Time to move on. Balance it out.
I love Stephen Ridley as a running back. I think he runs tough. I think he runs hard. But I think if you can't trust a running back, you can't play him in the game, especially in critical situations. All right, enough about what I think. What do you think? Hit us up at patriots.com/PCPdebate and give your opinion. I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
We're back again to talk to Coach Belichick. Let's talk about Denver. We know who they're led by. It's a heck of an offense on pace to put up a ton of records. You've had offenses to put up big records. It is about wins and losses, though. When you look at this offense, is this one of the better offenses that you've had to defend against?
Oh, yeah, no question. And they're very well balanced, too. They have skilled players at the running back position. They're very good at tight end, very good at receiver. Obviously, they have an outstanding quarterback. So, you know, you have to defend a lot with them. You have to defend from sideline to sideline. You have to defend everything in the passing game. They're also very good with their scheme in terms of finding plays that attack the defense and the weak points in the defense. So, you know, the quarterback and their skill players and their ability to do a lot of different things, whether it be run the ball, throw the ball, screen passes, misdirection plays, things like that, audibles, they're very good at all that.
All right, whether you coached here or elsewhere, and I'm not going to sit here and ask you if Peyton Manning's good. I think that's a silly question. We all understand that. It's kind of a quirk here that you've coached against him every year he's been in the league, except for the year that obviously he was hurt. You sit back and say, boy, how do I get blessed with this great opportunity each and every year? And when he was out, did you send him flowers or anything?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, that's how lucky am I? But, it seems like it's a division game. It seems like we play him every year, and sometimes we've played him twice back when they were in our division, but it seems like they've never left. And, we're always either playing him. Last year we were getting ready for him in the playoffs at the end of the season. So it was, he's shown up on our schedule a lot. But, he's a great player, great competitor, and, I have a lot of respect for Peyton Manning.
There's usually a quarterback on the other side that plays him. Yours started his 158th game, and that's under one head coach. That's an NFL record. I'll take that guy. It starts on your football teams.
Well, I'm glad Tom Brady's our quarterback, no doubt about that.
All right, good stuff, Coach. Time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week, and it comes from @Nancy8. She wants to know, how much does cold weather affect high-powered offenses that like to throw the ball downfield?
Well, I think cold weather has a little bit of effect on the overall execution of the ball handling, whether it be punting or punt returning or throwing or catching. It's a little bit easier to do when it's 70 degrees out there and, warm and, you're just everything's a little bit looser and a little bit, you've thrown a lot of passes, and that's a very...
I stood by the heaters on the side. See, I think that's the key, is the heaters in the back, the skill guys. The linemen usually stay huddled together. They keep themselves warm because they're big. And the quick guys, they stand over by that heater. Just take their heaters away, maybe.
Yeah, but, a big part of it really is just, mental. It's concentration and execution. And, we've all seen a lot of great plays in any kind of weather, warm weather, cold weather, rain, snow, whatever it happens to be. And, great players with great concentration, great ability to focus on what they're doing are capable of doing great things. And I wouldn't underestimate the Broncos' offense in any conditions. They have a lot of very good players.
All right, good stuff. If you want to ask the coach a question like Nancy did, you got to follow us on Twitter, @Patriots, hashtag it, AskThisGuyBB. Bellstrader later. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of number 18 getting the ball out quickly.
Yeah, well, we'll look at some of the explosive plays from the Denver offense. There's quite a few.
All right, Coach, sounds good. Stay tuned. Bellstrader later in the show, but more of All Access back right after this break.
Coming up on All Access.
Meet the man behind the Patriots' strength and conditioning, Harold Nash.
The strength and conditioning has become more popular in the National Football League, probably in the early 90s. Back when, a lot before that, in the 80s, the guys would come in camp to get in shape.
And later, Bill Belichick goes to the Bellastrator to break down the high-flying Denver Broncos.
And now nobody's catching this guy. He can really run and accelerate.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Subway. The Hunger Games Catching Fire is now at Subway. Find codes on 30-ounce collectible cups for a chance to win a trip to Hawaii to see where the movie was filmed. Subway, where victors eat. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
In his third season as head strength and conditioning coach, Harold Nash oversees one of the most important areas for the football team. His task? To make sure a football team is ready to play and maintain their strength for an NFL season.
What is a strength and conditioning coach in the National Football League? Well, basically, he's a coach that improves the player's physical attributes. So when we improve the player physically, then we ultimately give the coaches a much better product to perform on Sundays.
Hey, really extend through, extend high. Shoulders over the ball a little more.
Well, Harold Nose is, doing an excellent job in the strength conditioning aspect of our program, and really it covers a lot of ground. It starts with, in the offseason, getting the players prepared for training camp and the football season.
Don't think. Bring the hip. Strength and conditioning has become more popular in the National Football League, probably in the early 90s. Back when, a lot before that, in the 80s, the guys would come in camp to get in shape. But now they saw such a benefit to more resistive training, weights and conditioning, and something more organized.
Right. You're trying to pull a ball with your arms. It's the shoulders and the legs that's involved in it. So what happens?
changes have been dramatic. When I was with the Colts, we had a small room that had a universal gym in it, and that was basically it. You've seen the strength staffs grow as well as the equipment, and I'd say virtually every team in the league has an enormous weight room that has a lot of equipment, and that's far cry from the old universal gym day.
Stint. Ball a little far away from the body line, right? Got it dripping away from the body line a little bit. Not bad. You're going to have like 3 reps and probably maybe get 1, maybe 2 good reps out of it. The first one, you're thinking it through. The second one, you just hit it. Stay tight in the body line. You don't want to get too far away. You want to build a program that's beneficial to a guy in respect to his position. So I don't want a defensive lineman backpedaling like a defensive back. Then we got problems. But I think that's one of the main ingredients this program has. I think from a technology standpoint, the iPads, they come in and guys come in, and now we're able to video a guy right on the spot and teach him and use it as a teaching tool. And these things help, and it helps bringing a player, integrating him back onto the field. And, the coaches want to know if guys are improving.
It's really a daily thing that, we work on continuously with the players. We have some players who are obviously, playing a lot of football every week, and their needs are a little bit different than guys, for example, who are on the practice squad, who are more in the developmental stage of their career. And so the programs are a little bit different for those players because their needs are different.
But we have great support through the staff, with our training staff, great support with the head coach. But I think a lot of people don't realize what goes into it. It's not like we just spot guys, a squat, a bench press, and you're done. Tight, come down, strike the ball.
Well, that's all about what training's about, really, is to prepare the athletes, and all the things that will continue to not only help them perform on the field, but also, physically to stay in the field.
At the end of the day, we're here for football, and I know the business that I'm in, and winning counts. But at the same time, when I see guys more explosive, when I see guys stronger, more powerful, when I see injuries decrease significantly, when you get a guy to tell you, coach, you've helped me become a better football player, all these things are, that's our reward.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette. It's 4A, it's Zoe. More importantly, it's Denver week. Peyton Manning's coming to town. I don't want to say stop him, but how do you slow them? How do you counter what they're doing offense?
Oh, I think you're going to have to slow down those receivers. You got to get after him. You know he's not going to run, so you got to take away those timing routes that he loves so much, and that begins in the middle of the field.
Now, he's got one thing, meaning he's got that high ankle sprain. We know Peyton's going to be at the gun. He wants to limit all hits on him, so ball's got to be out here, ball's got to be out there. That's taking away his first read, so I'll be Wes Walker.
So you're gonna trot along in motion, and obviously it's an obvious read right here, but as soon as he stops or sees the ball snap, you gotta jam him as quick as possible,
timing.
And you have to stay on him. And in the offense has a timing mechanism in your head. As a defense player, you gotta have the same thing, because you know in 3 seconds or maybe a little bit more, he's going to have pressure on it, so he's going to have to throw the ball away from him.
All right, you're going to go to high safety. I'm going to be the corner to this side, and the reason we're doing this, cover 2 outside of the middle, because if you're going man to take that away, you got Decker, you got Demaryius Thomas on the outside. Say if I'm Marquise Cole, if I'm deader and I'm playing, I'm the roll corner, you're McCourty, you're the high safety to that side at the snap. Boom, you go.
Going deep.
I roll here. Keep everything tight and inside.
In front of
you. The key in this football game is really going to be keep Peyton Manning in 3rd and long.
And if
you know he's not going to run.
Yeah, you're not going to see what happened with Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton last week. He's not going anywhere.
All right, sounds good to me. It's cold. I mean, it's going to be 24. We got to get out of here, man. Turf's over.
Thanks, guys. One of the most anticipated matchups of the season has arrived. The Patriots are looking to go 8-3 with a win over the Broncos on Sunday. I'm Jackie Britton, and of the countless storylines, let's kick it off with two of the most obvious. The history between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning really needs no introduction. This will be the 14th time that they've faced off against each other. Who will emerge victorious on Sunday night? And Wes Welker will return to Gillette Stadium in enemy colors, but his status could still be in question after a concussion last week. Now, whether he plays or not, the Patriots are game planning against one of the best receivers in the NFL. And this season, the Broncos have been the most successful team in the red zone. So a banged up Patriots secondary will have their hands full. Can they pull through against the number one ranked offense? That will do it for this week's storylines. Now let's jump right into our opponent news brought to you by Geico.
The opponent news is brought to you by Geico.
Brady and Manning are the headliners nationally this week, but locally, this game marks the return of Wes Welker, who comes back to New England for the first time as a Denver Bronco.
Definitely excited. It's a big game, a big matchup, a great environment, everything else, and really look forward to it.
Yeah, I stay in contact with Tom and stuff. You know, not this week. This week we're pretty much enemies. But no, we're you know, really tight and close and you know, wish the best for him, just not this week.
That's the conversation in Denver. Now let's send things over to Coach Belichick and Scott Zolak. It's time for the Belistrator.
All right, it's time now for the Belistrator, brought to you by Putnam Investments. And Coach, the Denver offense, we know what the weapons are. Let's take a look and see what we got here.
Well, here's one of them is Marino, the running back. You know, he's very effective when he gets the ball in space, plays like this, outside stretch play. You know, you can see he does a nice job of setting this play up, using his block in, and then, you know, getting the secondary, plays with some power. Does a good job of getting in the end zone. You know, he's a dangerous player.
Run support by a secondary going to be a key in this one.
Absolutely. You know, and, Julius Thomas, the tight end, is you know, he's done an excellent job for him all year. This is the Baltimore game. He got off to a big start in the opener, but run a little seam route here, makes the catch. Ahead of Bo comes in there. He runs through that tackle. So, you know, he's a big threat on these seam patterns, vertical routes, which he loves. And then 2 weeks ago in the San Diego game, you'll see he gets a little diagonal pass out to the flat. Here he is coming out here, and the Chargers is a little bit late getting up there on him, so he catches it out there and now turns a 2-yard pass into a 75-yard touchdown.
You think the guy's just going to step out of bounds, some lazy tackling right there, and make sure you get a hat on a hat.
Yeah, he runs through it. Decker gave him a good block to get him started, but he's a very explosive player. Well, Demaryius Thomas is a very dangerous player, and here he is on the outside against the Colts running a post pattern in the fringe area, about the 30, 35-yard line in that area. And he goes down here, and you know, you can just see his acceleration as he runs through the safety and the corner. Manning steps up, puts it out there perfectly for him, and has a nice touchdown. One of the interesting things about Thomas is how effective he's been on screen passes. So it's not only the long plays, but you know, also the short ones as well. Screen pass has been a big play in the Broncos offense. Sometimes you kind of, you know, you don't pay as much attention to it as you need to, but it's dangerous. Here's one to Marino against the Redskins. Man-to-man coverage here. They get out and get him blocked, and now Marino's got some space. He's off to the races. Breaks a couple tackles here around the goal line to get in.
That's kind of the one that got them going again in that game where Washington was beating them, and that kind of sprung Denver right there, that screen pass.
It really did. And Thomas has had several plays for him. You know, here's another one against the Ravens, they're in a blitz here. Manning reads it, and he gets the screen out to Thomas. Gets a nice block here from Wes. Clady comes out, you know, and now nobody's catching this guy. He can really run and accelerate.
Is that unusual for a big guy of his size? Normally, those down the line of scrimmage quick passes, they're done to, like, smaller slot guys. Yet he at 6'3", 6'4", that's a great burst for a guy that size.
Yeah, he's been really productive on him. You know, as we see here, here's another one in the red area. You know, quick screen out here against the Eagles, and you know, once again, just a little bit of space. Just once he gets going, you know, he's a big, strong, fast guy that can really, you know, gain a lot of yards in a hurry. Like I say, you think about their offense, and the first thing that comes to mind isn't necessarily screen passes, but They've been very effective. Here's another one against the Redskins, and you can see how well executed it is. You know, they've got the whole convoy out there. There's the whole team, and of course, the Redskins only got, you know, one or two guys here that are even in position to defend it. Thomas gets a little bit of space and a lot of big plays, not just down the field, but catch and run type plays as well.
All right, Sunday Night Football. I know it's a big matchup for you guys, big conference matchup. Good luck. Go get them.
All right, thanks,
Scott. All right, there's Bell Strader. More Patriots All Access back right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Earlier this week, the Patriots found a unique and tangible way to give back to the community.
Come on in, kids, and see your new bikes.
Rob Gronkowski and Steve Gregory joined volunteers and supporters from the CVS Caremark Charity Classic to build brand new bikes.
It's great to see everyone in here all come together and work as one. They had big smiles getting their bikes, so that was an unbelievable job you guys did building the bikes for the kids.
They were given to enthusiastic youngsters from Boys and Girls Clubs in Boston and Providence. The bikes weren't just built, they were also decorated inside Gillette Stadium's Putnam Club. And there was even a chance for the kids to take a quick spin.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, and I'm Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And before we even talk about the Denver Broncos, I have to go back to the play. Because in my opinion, the Patriots totally got ripped off in that pass interference. Non-call.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't see how you can look at it another way. Clearly, there was interference there. Restriction. There was restriction on the play. They missed it. And the part that really bothers me, I know, Mike, you feel the same way, they throw the flag. And clearly, they saw something. And then they didn't even really deem it important enough to explain to everybody on TV and in the stadium. I thought it was a weak explanation after the fact. I didn't like it. To me, it was clearly pass interference. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I would say this, Steve. Whenever we talk about bad calls, I always like to say it's more than just a bad call that beats the Patriots, but it was a significant play. Didn't like that they threw the flag, picked it up. I thought they backed down based on the situation and the environment. Didn't like the explanation from the NFL, which I thought was pretty weak. And I'd also say in terms of no explanation from the referee at the game leaves pretty much the whole country watching the game hanging right as to what had happened.
Well, moving on, because here's the thing with the Patriots right now. They had trouble with the Carolina Panthers, an offense that, you know, doesn't put up a whole lot of points. Now you got the Denver Broncos coming into town, and these guys score at will. How the Patriots stop Denver?
I think there's a couple of things. One, I think you can turn Denver over a little bit, and the Patriots' defense has been. That snapped a long streak of the Patriots not forcing a turnover against the Panthers. That's something they're usually very good at, and Denver gives the ball away a little bit. And the second part, I think, really, New England went into the Panthers game trying to stop the run. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the number one goal. We know that Belichick likes to take away that number one thing, and clearly it's going to be the opposite this week against Manning, so maybe the pass defense is a little bit better.
Well, they couldn't stop Cam Newton running. No. They don't have to worry about Peyton Manning running.
Very true, although the Broncos might be worried more about Peyton's legs because of the ankle that they've been talking about with him.
But
piggybacking off of Paul's point here, I think not a good week to be banged up in your secondary. Wow. Aqib Talib, Alphonso Dennard, Kyle Arrington, you got to add him in because he was in and out of the game. This is going to be a sub-defense type game. You're going to be in your nickel. You're going to be in your dime against a good passing offense. Don't like the matchup, Steve.
Let's talk about this Patriots offense compared to the defense, because when the season started, everybody was relying on the Patriots defense to carry this team.
Yeah.
Now, is it fair to say because the defense is so banged up that the offense has to carry the load?
Yeah, I think it absolutely is fair to say. I think right now that group is as healthy as it's going to be. I think you saw the impact that Gronk had a few weeks ago. Now you see Shane Vereen back into the mix. Absolutely, the offense is going to have to help. You're not going to win this game 17-14.
Mm-hmm. I thought Teddy Bruschi said it best earlier this year. He said the defense was buying the offense time to find itself. Now the offense has to buy the defense time to somewhat recalibrate, get enough healthy bodies there to have a formidable enough unit.
Peyton Manning is the only one coming to town. Wes Welker looks like he could be coming to town as well. How will he be received?
Well, I would hope it would be a positive reception. I never know sometimes, and I'm not one of these media guys that likes to tell the fans what they should and shouldn't feel. I don't really get into that. To me, it's an individual choice.
Sure.
Mike off-air brought up Adam Vinatieri. He got booed. So if he can get booed, I think anybody can get booed.
I was surprised at that. I will be shocked if Wes Welker is booed here, because it's my sense, just from, you know, speaking with fans, communicating with them, that they probably hold the team more accountable than Wes for his departure. Beloved here, sort of said that he wanted to stay, in so many words. If he's booed next week, Steve, I might have to retire from the set here.
Prediction time, what do you got?
I think it's going to be too much, and Mike's point about the secondary is the one that weighs in my mind. I don't see them keeping the Broncos out of the 30s. I think the Broncos win 37-27.
Yeah, logic tells you to go Denver. I'm 5-5 on my predictions this year. Terrible. Worst year I've ever had.
So I don't keep track.
I got to figure out a different strategy. Patriots 35, Denver 31.
Patriots, okay, so you're going with back-to-back losses. You're saying the Patriots bounce back.
Yeah, because I'm 5-5. Probably headed for 5-6, but you know what? What can you say?
All right, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everyone. See you later.